Page 287. Right method, sincerity, and diligence. What is important is that the yogi should follow the method that is in accord with Satipatthana Sutta and other teachings. One must be free from hypocrisy, self-deceit, should be sincere and candid, and should stick to the instructions according to the Buddha's teaching. The yogi practices mindfulness constantly as instructed and reports his experience to the teacher. The teachers note the yogi's progress and his account of contact with Nibbana on the Aryan level. They urge the yogi to continue his practice when they consider his progress satisfactory. They tell him about the stages in the development of insight knowledge, the path, and its fruition. Then the yogi assesses his progress on the basis of what he learns from us and determines the stage he has attained. We do not pass judgment on his attainment, but let him judge for himself. Yet some people criticize us, thinking that we give verdict, but this is a misapprehension. Some look askance at our non-commitment, wondering why the teacher should not be able to specify the stage of a yogi's progress. But our non-committal attitude is in keeping with the Buddhist tradition, in that, apart from the Buddha, even Sariputta did not declare any yogi a Sotapanna, or an Anagami, or an Arahat. Furthermore, a meditation teacher is like a physician. In the olden days, physicians did not have any instruments to test the physical condition of a patient. They had to diagnose the disease by examining the patient's condition, feeling their pulse, and listening to what they said. If the patient did not speak the truth, the physician went astray. Likewise, if the yogi does not report accurately, the teacher may be mistaken in his judgment. So the practicing yogi should be free from pretense and hypocrisy, and forthright in reporting his experience. It is best for the teacher to note all that the yogi says, to tell them about the stages of insight and let them judge for themselves. Hiding one's defects, maya. Maya is the tendency to hide one's faults in order to keep others in the dark about them. We made allusions to maya when we talked about satya, its cunning hypocrisy. Some seek to cover their moral lapses behind a facade of talks on the evils of immorality and the blessings of a moral life. Talks that are designed to deceive other people. The object of some persons who practice austerities, dutanga, and meditation is not to enhance their prestige, but to cover up their moral laxity. This is not satya, but maya. It is maya on the part of some workers to idle away the time and then to work hard in the pretense of their superior or submit in the presence of their superior or submit tendentious reports. It is maya to speak to a person as if one is interested in his welfare while covertly saying or doing things that are harmful to them. It is maya to tell a teacher that one follows his instruction when in fact one does not. In short, all attempts to hide one's faults are maya. It is an evil that you should try to overcome. If you have it, you must confess it to your teacher or your fellow yogis. According to the commentary, the yogi overcomes maya and satya at the sotapatti stage. Since they are evils, there is no room for them in the mind of the noble one, Arya. Excessive conceit, atimana, lack of respect, tamba. Those who have excessive conceit usually do not have respect for a person who is worthy of respect. If one does not pay respect to, or make room for, or give way to a worthy person, it is a sign of conceit and arrogance. A worthy person here means a grandfather, a grandmother, a father, a mother, a teacher of any other or any other aged person. It may also mean a person whose moral and spiritual life is much higher than yours. According to the Buddha's teaching in Chula Karma Vibhanga Sutta, those who lack respect for a worthy person land in hell after death and on return to the human world are reborn in the lower classes, while respect for a worthy person leads to the deva worlds and to rebirth as human beings in noble families. Mana means self-conceit and a low opinion of other people. Atimana is excessive self-conceit. Conceit is totally extinct only in the arahat, and so it is an evil that few bhikkhus and yogis can overcome. Excessive conceit of some people is an obstacle to their social relations and prosperity. Few people wish to have any relation with a conceited person. His friends and followers gradually dwindle. His superiors dislike him. And at last, he becomes isolated. Among religious teachers, too, there are some who harbor excessive pride. Their sayings and writings clearly betray their conceit. They commit indiscretions and excesses in speaking and writing. A conceited teacher tends to belittle others and portray himself as peerless in respect of moral purity and learning. So although he may be a sayadaw who is fully qualified in every respect, he will not prosper and have much success in life. His books may be remarkable, but few people will esteem them highly. So the best thing is to have little conceit. But the difficulty is that a conceited man is usually unconscious of his conceit. His conceit may be beyond control, in spite of other people's advice. On the other hand, he may impute conceit to those who do not agree with him. As a result, he finds it hard to have cordial relations with others. Such an experience should make him aware of his excessive pride and help him to control it.